Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Nix, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. Okay, so welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost today. Leading on from the previous podcast, I think it was episode 89, as we all know, our retailers and hospitality are doing it tough. And it's always around finances. So to help us further, I've invited an absolute powerhouse in the world of profit acceleration and business growth, Phil East. And Phil East is joining me today. Phil is a profit acceleration specialist and business strategist with a mission to take profit acceleration mainstream. He combines his background in accounting, banking, and marketing to help business owners implement proven low-cost and no-cost strategies that uncover hidden revenue streams and create sustainable growth. His book, The Profit Code, demystifies the numbers that matter most to your business. It's packed with actionable insights on how business owners can simplify financial management and focus on what really drives real profit. The book challenges the traditional approach of relying solely on marketing and instead highlights how optimizing your numbers can deliver faster and more impactful results. This forms the basis of our discussion today. Now, I've known Phil for a few years now, and I know he doesn't like to sleep much because he's actually written 4 books, 3 on profitable marketing, but his latest book that we'll be gaining insights from today. In his own words, a wild fact about Phil is as his background suggests, he's a bit of a dork. So the wildest thing about Phil is that he likes to listen to all his favourite podcasts on 1.5 speed and get up at all hours of the night or early morning to attend seminars and training online. The listening at 1.5 tells me it's a global collection of podcasts, Phil. But anyway, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm sensational, Sam. Thanks for it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
More than
just the fact that I listen to podcasts makes me a dork in my kids' eyes as well. So I've got the full Monty there.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Teenagers today, huh, and young adults. Doesn't matter. We're going to be dorks no matter what we do. Alrighty, so I hope you're all ready to take some notes or download and save this potty because I think there will be some real gold in this episode today. Now, Phil, I'm not a maths person. I'm going to make the claim right up the front. I'm not good at maths. But we've got 3 questions that we're going to ask today to hopefully break it down for business owners. So my first question to you, Phil, is where should business owners start when getting their heads around their finances and their numbers?
Well, I think the first thing is a little bit about what you just said there and getting rid of the blockage, Sam, because we're not talking about maths. We're talking about money maths, which is a lot more exciting than normal maths. So if you get this right, you make more money. And that is important, and everyone loves to make more money, I'm sure. So I'm a bit of I like sport, okay? And footy, Aussie rules footy, I like Aussie rules footy. So As far as your numbers go, if you think of it as a game of sport, and you didn't know what the score was at any time during the game, or if you come to the end of the game and you didn't know whether you won or not, the sport wouldn't be as good. So it's the same thing with your numbers. If you're not tracking your numbers as you go along, you don't know whether you're winning, you don't know whether you're doing the right things, and you don't know whether there might be something that you can change to make it better. And the game would actually be even worse if you actually didn't know what the score was until maybe 9 months later when you go and see your accountant and get the score of the game and find out you're a lot closer to winning than you thought. If you had made a couple of changes, you could have made a big difference to the game. So keeping track of your numbers all the time, getting your head around that your numbers are important, business is numbers, so make it fun with some money maths. So I think the next thing, and the question I get asked a lot is, or one of the first questions I ask people is how much money do you want to make? And it's surprising how many people don't know that number. So I think that's the first place to start is, you know, where you're at and where you want to get to. So if you know how much money you want to make, a good tool, it's just a little Excel spreadsheet I call My Freedom Number. And I actually get people, it's just a bit of a starter. People put down their numbers in there of how much it's going to cost them to live the life they want to live. Okay, so it's a bit realistic and a bit aspirational. And so when it comes down to the number at the end, it calculates the number at the end after you work out what school you want your kids to go to, where you want to live, what home, any holidays you want to take and where they want to go, what sort of car you want to have, all that sort of stuff, how much money you want to save, how much money you want to give to charities, all that sort of thing comes up with a number. Then your next part is, okay, what part does my business play in achieving that? Does my business have to achieve the whole of that number? Have I got some income from somewhere else that'll supplement it? Do I have to come up with half of it? Okay, and then you know, okay, that's my goal number. Now, you mightn't get your goal number in the first year, but it gives you somewhere to work through, to build, to get to the life that you want to live. So that's an important number to start, Sam.
Very good, Phil. I like that idea about knowing exactly where you want to be. And then hopefully over the next little while you're going to tell us how to get there possibly. So what do you believe are the top three things that can wreak havoc with a business owner's money maths?
Well, I think it's really just the fundamentals, Sam. And if you can get the fundamentals right, everything goes from there. So as we say, these are the skills that pay the bills. So if we get ahead around our numbers, we'll be on the way. So one of the big one is confusion with terminology and then interchanging terms. Okay, so we have margin and markup and profit and turnover and expenses and COGS and overheads and gross profit, net profit, revenue, all those different terms. And some of them mean the same and some of them mean a different. So if you've got turnover, revenue, gross income, gross sales, they're all the same thing. So just use one of them. If you interchange markup and margin, you get two different results, okay? So just making sure you're using the right formulas for the right terms. So if I've got a $100 widget, I like the widgets, I like saying widget. If you've got a $100 widget and you want to mark it up 50%,
yeah,
you multiply 100 by 1.5 and you get $150, okay? Now, if you sell it for $150, you're only making a 33.33% profit margin, okay? So if you want to make a 50% profit or 50% margin, you need to divide your cost by 50%, okay? So if we follow that through, that'll give us a selling price of 200, which gives us a $100 profit on a $200 sale, which is a 50% profit margin. So I hope I didn't lose anyone there because it gets a bit confusing saying them out loud. But you can see You can see that turns out to be a big difference in how much money you make just by interchanging those two terms.
Yeah.
So that leads on to that part of the number two thing is the pricing miscalculations. So one of those is the marketing, the margin and the markup, as we just mentioned.
Yep.
But the other thing is also discounting and underestimating the effect of discounting. People might think that, you know, discounting is a good way to get more sales, but it may turn out that just on a 10% 10% discount, you may need to sell twice as many to make the same amount of money. So getting your maths right on those, and most people don't go shopping for 10% discount now. It's 40% or so is what gets people to turn heads and walk in your door these days. So if you're thinking about making a discount, think very hard, because people buy on value, not necessarily price. So sometimes you might think of a bit of bundling and put a few things together, which may have a similar effect to a discount, but you're not teaching your customers that you're going to get a discount. Okay, so people love value. The third one is cutting costs versus increasing prices versus selling more. So if I'm selling something for $100 and I increase it to $110, it doesn't cost me any more to sell that. So that $10 that I've put it up goes straight into my pocket. Okay. Now, I've only increased my price by 10%, so it's not a big increase, but that goes straight in my profit pocket, the same as if I cut my cost by $10, okay? A dollar saved is a dollar earned. That all goes straight into my – so whatever you save there, you get the whole lot of. If you increase your sales, that takes a bit extra marketing and a bit extra – but when you increase your sales, you only get – you might only get half that if you've got a 50% profit margin, and then you've got your expenses to come out of it as well. So you will have to sell more stuff to get the same effect as raising your prices by a small amount or cutting your costs by a small amount.
That's really good to understand, Phil. Now, this is an interesting one. So this is really around the profit and loss statement. So for many of us out here in small business world, it's okay for you, number crunchers and bean counters, you love P&L, but for many of us, it's just a long list of numbers that their accountant puts together, or even their accountancy package together to put together for their tax. But how do you see profit and losses?
Yeah, so profit and losses, you've got it bang on, and people disregard them because a lot of the time they're put together for tax and not actually something that makes sense to people when they're running their business. So the other part is there's a long list of numbers in there, and anything with a long list of numbers, people are like, it's just too hard.
They glaze over.
That's right. So business is about relationships, and I like to look at the numbers as relationships as well. So I pick a few ratios, okay? So what's the relationship between my cost of goods and my sales? What's the relationship between my expenses and my sales, or my overheads and my sales? And then if there's other numbers that you wanted to track in there, what's the relationship to my gross profit, to my sales, okay? And if there's particular things that make a difference to your business, you might want to keep a track of those. Now, the thing with doing ratios is you only have to look at 3 to 5 numbers, and the number only goes up 0 to 100. Okay, and you can look, if you've set a target that's got to be 35% and it's 40 or it's 30, you know that there's a difference there that you have to investigate as to why it is. So it makes things easily recognisable, lets you know when you're on track, and there's only a certain number of numbers that you have to look at. So that makes it more simple. It makes it quick, so you're not taking up a lot of time looking at numbers. Because if you've got a sales number, you don't know whether that's better or worse than last year, or you don't know whether the cost of goods is better or worse. But if you're looking at it as a percentage, it stands out straight away whether it's better or worse. So if you look at it, there's only really three numbers that you can have any input on your profit and loss, okay? So that's sales. So we can make a difference in sales. There's cost of goods, okay? So we can make a difference with the cost of goods, and our expenses or overheads, we can make a difference there. So there's a little formula I like to call my 5-5-5 formula. So if you impact all those or each of those areas by 5%, it can make a big difference to your bottom line, okay? So if you stick with me, I might run through a couple of numbers, Sam, okay? So I don't want to make it too confusing, but if I'm turning over $300,000 and I increase my sales by just 5%, all of a sudden I'm turning over $315,000. If my cost of goods are $180,000 and I decrease them by 5%, all of a sudden my cost of goods drop to $171,000. So already my gross profit has gone from $120,000 to $144,000. Okay. Now, and my gross profit percentage has gone from 40% to 46% just with 2-5% changes. Now, if I look at my overheads and all my expenses, if I can find another 5% and I can shave 5% off my overheads, and my overheads were 60,000, all of a sudden my overheads are only 57,000. Okay, so we're only looking at small hinges swing big doors. Okay, so just small changes. All of a sudden, my net profit, which was $60,000, is now $87,000. I've got an extra $27,000 in my pocket just by small changes. So if you look at that, that's a 45% increase in net profit.
Huge, Phil. Absolutely huge.
That's right. So the same thing works with everything as far as your business goes. You don't have to make big changes. Just look at how you can change many things. What did Albert Einstein say? Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. So you get those small changes and you stack them on top of each other, and together they can make an enormous difference.
Wow, Phil, that's amazing. So we're sort of leaning towards the next question, and what are the five ways to increase cash flow? Now, cash flow at this day and times, I've got to tell you, is hard for a lot of businesses, Phil. So what are your five ways?
Well, number one, you can sell more stuff. But as we alluded to earlier, that takes a bit of marketing or finding a joint venture partners, and there can be some expense in selling more stuff. But if you sell more stuff, you do increase your cash flow. As we also alluded to, if we increase our prices, that goes straight into our cash flow. And if we cut our expenses, they go straight into our cash flow. So if you do a little bit of a supplier audit with your cost of goods and your overheads, and see if you can cut some expenses there. The other thing is collecting outstanding debts. For some reason, many business owners don't like to put up their hand and say, "Hey, you owe me money. Can you pay me?" So make sure you've got your terms and you know your trading terms, that your customer knows your trading terms, importantly, and that you collect your debts when you're due. I think if you look around the environment at the moment, if your telco or your power company or your water company, or if you don't pay your bill there, see how quickly they come and say, "Hey, you haven't paid."
Chop you off real quick.
That's right. Or you've got a subscription, an online subscription, all of a sudden you can't get into it because you haven't paid your bill. Now, I'm pretty sure that they've got a lot more money than many small businesses. But they're maximising their cash flow by keeping to terms and aggressive. So collect your debts. Ask people to pay you. It's okay. And then hang on to your money. Don't be too much of a generous Joe. Pay your bills when they're due, but don't necessarily have to pay them early. Okay, so pay them when they're due. And the next one is, especially if you've got trades or people paying by there, make sure people are productive in what they're doing. So have some way that you're always tracking productivity and that your charge out rates are in line with productivity.
Yep. Wow, Phil, there's some real nuggets in there. And as we start to wind up this episode, what is an additional tip, something that you've learned in your business life, either through your own business or working with clients and your businesses that you work with?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I'll probably give you a little bit of a strategy. Yep. I think just going back to that point you made about the gold nuggets, or they're not difficult to do. I think that's something that just so people can get their head around, it's not as difficult as it may seem. So just have a look and see what small changes you can make. Yes. As with this strategy, it's not a complicated strategy. So I got this from Dean Jackson. So he's a great marketer, so I can't claim it for myself, but if you've, and this is especially good for the hospitality industry that you mentioned on the podcast the other week, but it can also translate to many other industries and businesses. So there's one called you can have a birthday promotion. So if you, and we'll just call it a cafe.
Yep.
Just for that. So if you do a Facebook ad to everyone in your area that's having a birthday that month, and you send them out an ad that comes in their feed that says, "Happy birthday, here's a gift from us. Just go here and download your free gift certificate or gift card," or however, it's probably better if you call it a gift card or make it sound good. And whether that's $20 or $30, or you'll work that out on your average spend, but be generous, I would say. Be generous, okay, because you know if you've got a 50% gross margin, that is only costing you, the $30 voucher is only costing you $15. So yep. Be generous. And most people who go with a voucher, they generally spend more than the voucher, so you've picked up a bit extra. Some of these people may never have even been in your premises before. And the other thing is, I don't know too many people that celebrate a birthday by themselves. So when they go out for coffee or lunch or whatever, and they're going to take their voucher, they're going to take other people along with them. So you've bought, for the cost of your voucher, well, that little small investment, all of a sudden you might have brought four or five new customers that may come back again and again. So that's a great one for getting people in the door. The other one is you might have some, if you've got a few hundred followers or a few thousand followers on your business page on Facebook, you can market directly to them. And you can just have a different promotion every month. You can only do it once if you want, but if you advertise direct to them on the same thing, say, we've just had Valentine's Day recently here, it's Lover's Month, I'm feeling generous. Here's a $30 voucher to you for loving my page and being a great supporter. Okay. That will generate a bit of interest. People that may not have been for a while might come back. So, and other people that are supporters will come. And again, they may bring other people along with them that have never been. Chances are. So, you're getting some past customers that haven't been in, you're getting some new customers, and you're getting some goodwill because people are. You're not giving them a discount so that they have to buy something and get something back. You're just giving them a gift. You're giving them a gift voucher and a surprise gift. If you ask Robert Gialdini from Influence. If you ask him, a surprise, unexpected gift is an absolute goldmine for how people think of you and your business.
That's really good, those two strategies, Phil. And I actually think, I know the focus has really been around hospitality and retail, but I'm actually, as I'm sitting here listening to you, thinking that could actually apply to a lot of different sectors of business. So thank you for sharing those. They were great. Now, Phil, I know you've put an offer together for our listeners today, which we'll put in the episode notes, and we also need to know where people can follow you online, Phil. So if they've enjoyed listening to you today and they want to know more about you or what you're going to offer, how do they find you?
Profitimprover.com.au online. Yep. Yep. And on LinkedIn or Facebook, just at Profit Improver. So awesome. Check those up.
Awesome. Now, today, the offer we have got, because I got your book in the mail, which I loved, and I did a bit of a unboxing, and I'm about halfway through the book, Phil, so you'll be able to test me in a couple of weeks. But I'm actually, because I'm not a maths person, I'm not a money maths person, you know, it's all about business development, marketing, photography for me, but I've actually found the book quite easy to read. Like, it's really simply laid out. So thank you for writing the book. But how can our listeners get a copy of that book? And can you talk a little bit about the bonus offer that you're giving our listeners today in and around that book?
Certainly, Sam. Yes. It's got pictures in it.
Yes.
And big writing. So that tells you a little about me too, doesn't it? So... But if you
post-it notes and scribbles all over it now.
But if you go into and download the book, it will help solidify what we've been talking about today, and go into it a bit deeper so you can actually knuckle down in your business. Yeah. The other thing that just for the action takers, so I'll give it an optional bonus for the action taker. So if you actually go and download the book, Sam, what I'll do for your listeners is I have a 52-week small business MBA online. Okay. Yep. It's the best do-it-yourself business marketing, business growth online tool on the planet. And that's Yeah, that's me saying it, but I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one that's better. So now what I'll do is that's $1,000 for 12-month subscription there. And I'll give that to the action takers who download the book. I'll send them out log in, and they can have a free subscription for 12 months. So just if they go through the first 90 days, they'll have a sensational foundation to grow their business. There's a heap of strategies in there that are low to no cost, easy to implement in your business. Plus, included in there is an 8-week financial training module, which just backs up what's in the book. So there's plenty of stuff in there. There's even an advertising library which gives you some marketing programs and examples for all different industries. So yeah, there's plenty happening in there. So
wow, that's pretty huge. Phil, what type of commitment? Because I know it's self-driven. Does that mean people, once they log in, they can actually go at their own rate? Is that correct?
That is so. Yeah. What will happen is I'll open up about the first 2 or 3 weeks, because there's always people that want to get going keenly.
Yep.
But every week another lesson will be unlocked, okay? Yeah. So that takes away a bit of overwhelm.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone go through 52 in 52.
Right.
Okay? So as far as time goes, it is whatever you can make. So if you can make 2 hours a week to work, and whether that's 1 hour, 2 days a week or whatever, to go through and have a look, and it takes you 3 weeks to do a week, or depending on what you've got going on, it doesn't matter. Okay. There's no rule that says you have to do it. all I would say is if you're going to commit to 2 to 3 hours a week, commit to 2 to 3 hours a week and get it done. So as we know, money loves speed. So the quicker you can get these implemented, you gain the momentum and you get going. So, but everyone's got a lot on their plate. So if there's something, if you're a business owner and there's something you can offload to an employee and delegate to an employee so you can have some time to work at the on the e-learning marketing system, I'd encourage that as well. So it's, rather than having to do it, if you can make some time during the day, but even if you're doing it in the morning or at night, it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's a bit of fun because it's helping you make a few extra dollars in your business.
Well, that's at the end of the day. Now, in my notes, you've got something about the 13-week mark. Can you just give us a very small insight to what happens at the 13-week mark?
Well, I think if you do the 13 weeks and implement everything that's happening in those first 13 weeks, I believe you double your profit within 12 months.
Whoa.
So it's pretty powerful just making sure.
Get into that.
And there's lots of things in there that you may already be doing in your business, but it's a good time to review and make sure that you're actually doing them as well as you could be. Yeah. And if there's anything else you might be able to, they might be able to add in. So there's also the case of people have it was working so well, I stopped doing it. So you might come across someone, oh, I used to do that. And they're like, well, I don't know why I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah. And it actually worked pretty well. So it might just be the case that it'll remind you to reinstate something that you've been doing well in the past.
That's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much today, Phil. I've really enjoyed it. I've learned some real insight. I've actually written down some notes. And I'm hoping that those insights will work for my business, but hopefully all our listeners that tune in today, and hopefully that they become more profit driven in the future. So thanks, Phil, and have a great day.
Thanks, Sam. I was excited to be here, and I hope everyone found some value there, and all the best in your business and for your families. It makes a big difference if you're doing well in your business. So
that's so true, Phil.
Thanks, go well. Phil. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsy, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.